You're listening to Radio Hangar Aviation Talk, powered by AI, fueled by passion. Hey everybody, welcome back to Traffic Pattern. I'm Pattern, and today we're diving into a topic that I think every pilot needs to hear, whether you're a student getting ready for your check ride or a certificated pilot who hasn't flown at night in a while. We're talking about night flying, specifically. The difference between being current and being proficient, because those two words mean very different things, and confusing them can get you into real trouble. Shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument, commercial, they've got you covered. Great way to mark the milestones that matter. aviationsoul.com. All right, let's start with currency because that's the easy part. Or at least it's the part the Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, spells out in black and white 14 CFR 6157 Bravo. That's the regulation. To carry passengers at night, you need 3 takeoffs and 3 landings to a full stop in the preceding 90 days. Those takeoffs and landings have to happen during the period beginning 1 hour after sunset and ending 1 hour before sunrise, and they have to be in an aircraft of the same category, class and type, if type is required. 3 landings. 90 days. Full stop. That's it. Now here's what I want you to notice. The reg doesn't say anything about how good those landings were. It doesn't say anything about practicing emergency procedures. It doesn't say anything about flying approaches to unfamiliar airports in the dark. It says 3 and done, you're legal, and that's where pilots get themselves into trouble. Let me paint you a picture. It's a Tuesday evening in March. You take your airplane out to the practice area, do 3 laps around the pattern, full stop taxi backs, log it, and head home. Total time, maybe 30 minutes, you're now legally current to carry passengers at night for the next 90 days. Fast forward to day 89. Your buddy asks you to fly him to a fly-in dinner at an airport you've never been to. It's a short runway surrounded by trees, no visual approach slope indicator, and the weather is marginal VFR with a scattered layer at 2500. You're current. But are you proficient? Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. Currency is the floor. Proficiency is the standard you should actually be holding yourself to. Let's walk through what makes night flying different from day flying, because this is where proficiency really matters. First, your eyes. And I don't just mean squinting a little harder. Your vision at night is fundamentally different. During the day, you're using your cones, the photoreceptors concentrated in the center of your retina. They give you sharp, detailed color vision. At night, your rods take over. They're spread around the periphery of the retina, and they're great at detecting light and motion, but terrible at detail. This means you need to use off-center viewing. Instead of looking directly at something, you look about 10 to 15 degrees to the side. The light falls on those rod-rich areas, and you actually see it better. Try it sometime. Look directly at a dim star. It disappears. Look slightly to the side, and there it is. Full dark adaptation takes about 30 minutes. 30 minutes. How many of us actually sit in a dark room for half an hour before a night flight? I'll be honest, I didn't do it consistently early in my career, and I paid for it with reduced situational awareness on more than one occasion. The Airman certification standards for the private pilot certificate expect you to understand physiological aspects of night flying. The examiner is looking for you to explain dark adaptation, the different types of photoreceptors, how to protect your night vision, and how lighting affects your ability to see and avoid traffic and terrain. But knowing the theory and actually applying it are two different things. That's proficiency again. Second thing that changes at night. Spatial disorientation becomes a much bigger threat. During the day, you've got a clear horizon. Your body's vestibular system might lie to you, but your eyes usually win the argument. At night, especially on a dark, moonless night over unlit terrain or water, you can lose that horizon completely. There's a phenomenon called the black hole approach. You're flying into an airport surrounded by dark terrain with no visible horizon. The only thing you can see is the runway lights. Your brain interprets those lights as a reference, and it tells you you're doing fine. Meanwhile, you're actually flying a dangerously low approach, because without a visual approach slope indicator or a proper glide path reference, your perception of the correct approach angle is basically a guess. This has killed experienced pilots, not students. Experienced pilots who were absolutely current but had not practiced night approaches enough to recognize when their visual picture was wrong. A proficient night pilot briefs the approach, checks for obstacles, looks up the touchdown zone elevation, uses the VSI or PAPI if available, backs it up with the altimeter. Flies a stabilized approach just like they would on an instrument approach with altitude checkpoints. Third, area where night flying demands more than minimum currency, emergencies. Imagine your engine quits at night. During the day, you look outside, pick a field, aim for it. You've practiced this. You know the drill at night. Where are you going to go? You can't see the terrain. You can't see the wires. You can't see the trees. A proficient night pilot plans for this before takeoff. They fly at altitudes that give them glide range to a lit airport whenever possible. They know the terrain along their route. They've briefed what they would do if things go wrong at different points in the flight. They keep their emergency checklist accessible and they've practiced reaching for it in the dark. A current pilot might not have thought about any of that since their last flight review. Now let me talk about something that trips up a lot of checkride applicants. The difference between night currency and the requirements for acting as pilot in command at night. Some students confuse the passenger currency requirement in 6157 with a general prohibition on flying at night without recent experience. Let me be clear. If you're not carrying passengers, you can fly at night anytime your medical and flight review are current. The three takeoffs and landings requirement is specifically for carrying passengers. But here's where I'll get on my soapbox for a second. Just because you legally can doesn't mean you should. If you haven't flown at night in 5 months and you want to go solo at 10 p.m. to a familiar airport in good weather, you're legal. But think about whether you're prepared. Have your skills eroded? Are you comfortable with your cockpit lighting setup? Do you remember how to properly lean for best power in case you need it for a go-around? The Airman Certification Standards in the Night Operations section evaluate your ability to plan and execute a night flight safely. Not just aviate, but plan. The examiner wants to see that you think about things like ensuring your flashlight works, that you've checked the notices to air missions for any light outages at your destination, that you've reviewed the airport diagram so you know the taxiway layout and won't get lost on the ground. Speaking of getting lost on the ground, taxiing at night at an unfamiliar airport is one of the most underrated hazards in aviation. Runway incursions spike at night. The signage and lighting all look different from what you studied on a sunny afternoon. A proficient pilot studies the airport diagram before the flight, briefs the expected taxi route, and isn't afraid to ask ground control for progressive taxi instructions if things get confusing. Let me give you some practical steps for building and maintaining real night proficiency, not just checking the currency box. First, fly at night more often. I know that sounds obvious, but instead of cramming 3 laps in the pattern every 89 days, try to fly at night at least once a month. Make it a regular part of your flying. Take a short cross-country. Go somewhere with a control tower so you get practice talking to ATC at night when the workload is lower and you can really focus on your flying. Second, practice approaches to airports with and without visual glide slope indicators. If you always practice at your home airport, where there's a four-light PAPI on every runway, you're going to be in trouble when you show up at a field with nothing but runway and identifier lights and your own eyeballs. Third, practice emergency procedures at night. Not actual engine failures, obviously, but slow flight at altitude over a lit area where you can practice scanning for suitable emergency fields. Build your awareness of what the terrain looks like from above at night. Learn to identify highways, parking lots, and open areas by their lighting patterns. Fourth, fly with a safety pilot or instructor once in a while. Even experienced pilots benefit from having another set of eyes and a debrief after the flight. A good CFI can spot habits you've developed that might be working fine right now, but will bite you on a darker, harder night. Fifth, set personal minimums for night flying. This is huge. Maybe you decide that you won't fly at night with visibility less than 5 miles, or that you won't fly at night to airports without an approach lighting system until you've been there at least once during the day, or that you won't fly at night unless you have at least 1 hour of fuel beyond what you need. Whatever your minimums are, write them down and stick to them. The FAA's risk management guidance emphasizes personal minimums as a key tool for safe decision-making, and they matter even more at night when the consequences of a bad decision compound faster. Here's the bottom line. Currency is a legal standard. It's the bare minimum. Proficiency is a personal standard. It's what keeps you and your passengers safe. Every time you go flying at night, ask yourself honestly, am I just current, or am I truly prepared for this flight? If the answer gives you any pause, there's no shame in waiting for daylight, getting some dual instruction, or simplifying the flight to something within your actual comfort level. The best pilots I know are the ones who understand the gap between what's legal and what's smart, and they always err on the side of smart. Today's discussion draws on guidance from the FAA's Airplane Flying Handbook, the Aeronautical Information Manual, and the Airman Certification Standards for private and commercial pilots. As always, go to the source material for the complete picture. Radio Hangar is an AI-generated aviation broadcast built by pilots who care about this stuff. You can find more at radiohangar.com. I'm Pattern, and I'll leave you with this. Next time you head out for a night flight, give yourself an extra 30 minutes on the ground. Study the route, brief the approach, let your eyes adapt. That little bit of preparation is the difference between a pilot who's just checking a box and a pilot who's truly ready. Fly safe out there, everybody. Radio Hangar, keep the blue side up.